Welcome to the April was so taxing, I skipped straight to May edition of the Block Party for the week of May 11th, 2010. No matter what month it is, you can find me three ways. You can find me through the link at the upper left, the iTunes feed, or the dedicated webpage at www.blockpartypodcast.com. We start this catch-up edition with The Amazing Race, and we're down to the final three with Brent and former Miss USA contestant Kate, the Cowboys, Jet and Cord, and brothers Dan and Jordan going for the $1 million. The problem that I have had with this season is that the final three gives me absolutely zippo, no one to root for. Over the last few seasons, you've had a great comeback story in brother-sister team Victor and Tammy. You've had Margie and Luke Donald. Remember, Luke was the completely deaf contestant who basically almost won the whole thing. And the dominant performance last season of Megan and Shane. This season has been a comedy of errors where teams were making mistake after mistake. Whoever wins this $1 million will be the team that survived the mistakes that they made. And if the Kate and Brent Brain Trust actually wins this, I will be incredibly upset. I really believe that the promise of the beginning of the season has disintegrated into a mistake fest. This has been the worst season in at least 2 years for The Amazing Race, and I don't believe that the reality show Emmy should go to them this year. Neither should it go to American Idol. At this point, we are at the final four with Lee DeWise, Michael Lynch, Casey James, and Crystal Bowersox going for the title of American Idol. But this season has been an absolute snooze and bore fest. There have been many problems this year. It starts with the judging, which has been stereotypical, and if I heard the word moment one more time, I would have put my size 9 sneaker through the TV. It feels like everyone on staff, from Ryan Seacrest on down, is going through the motions before Simon Cowell jumps ship for the X Factor in 2011, and Ricky Minor goes on to lead the band at The Tonight Show. The liberal guilt fest of Idol Gives Back returned this season as Fox, many multinational corporations, and the producers exploited the poor of both the United States, Haiti, and Africa to steal $45 million in charitable donations from the gullible public. The talent this year has been milquetoast, and it has just been there. No one seems to want to grab the mantle of the title. It just seems to me that they're just going to back into it this year. I'm sorry. On the other hand, Survivor has been an absolute blast to watch. At this writing, the Heroes and Villains tribe has been merged into Team Yin Yang. They made it up, not me. And we have Rupert, Sandra, Danielle, Colby, Russell, Candace, Parvati, and Jerry Manthe left. The villains are up 5-3. There have been plays of immunity idols, injuries, and pure survivor goodness. This has been a blast to watch, and the episodes are filled with crosses and double crosses and a boatload of role reversals. Some heroes are villains, some villains are heroes. And this is what Survivor's all about, and I can't wait to see who wins this title of Best Survivor, Soul Survivor. Over at the ballroom, the 10th season of Dancing with the Stars has been beating Idol in the ratings, and I can understand why, even though I don't watch. The final five are Nicole Scherzinger of the Pussycat Dolls, Niecy Nash of Clean House and Reno 911, Evan Lichacek, Olympic gold medalist, Aaron Andrews of ESPN, and former and football player Chad Ochocinco. The drama of Jake Pavolka and John and K plus 8's Kate Gosselin has led to an actual fun competition. Who knew? The faux drama of Celebrity Apprentice has given way to the real life drama of Bret Michaels' brain hemorrhage and his recovery. People.com reported that his doctor says he's, quote, still very sick right now. He's out of the hospital in stable condition and on the road to a full recovery. Mr. Michaels was indeed a lucky person, a very lucky person. Dr. Joseph Zabransky said at a press conference Tuesday at the Barrow Neurological Institute in St. Joseph's Hospital in Phoenix, where the rocker had been receiving treatment. Michaels, 47, was discharged recently, less than 2 weeks after suffering a brain hemorrhage on April 21st. Zabransky could not release details of when he left the hospital or where he's receiving additional treatment because of federal privacy laws. "He's improving," said Zabransky. "I really expect he will fortunately make a 100% recovery. He's just one of those lucky people, 10 to 20% who make a complete recovery and can resume all of their normal activities. And I, for one, am grateful." As for the show itself, Bret Michaels is left, along with former WWE diva Maria Kanellis, celebrity chef Curtis Stone, actress Holly Robinson Peete, and Sharon Osbourne, and of course Cyndi Lauper. They're left. I am personally more interested in not what's happening on Celebrity Apprentice now, but what Donald Trump does when The Apprentice comes back with real people next fall and get in the theme of getting America back to work. On the traditional game show front, I must comment on the excellent, excellent, excellent Facebook app for Family Feud. Fremantle debuted the game last month, and according to Games.com, the game has been a massive success, having over 2.5 million plays in just the first month of release, and it's not showing any signs of slowing down. The game show a big spike in April and gets nearly 800,000 plays a day now, if not more. I personally play it every day, and it's a perfect example of a great video game show application, and this is just fantastic, addictive stuff. The next one scheduled for release is something I'm drooling over, which is the Price is Right Facebook app in June. Speaking of the Price is Right, we've had a lot of great prizes offered, including a right-hand drive 1964 Bentley 3 sedan, which was won in hole-in-one, and a 2010 Tesla Roadster at the end of the Green Road for Earth Day. In a recent AP interview, Drew Carey is promoting Price is Right and wants to see even more branding of the show. I love it. I don't think they're doing as much as they should be doing. Business-wise, you should take advantage of every media stream you can, he said, adding, "I want to be part of a gig that's doing new things and trying stuff." He continues, "I look at it as owning a house. Any homeowner can relate. You're never, ever done with your house," Carey said. "New rug, new bathroom tile, but it's still the same house. It's still the same game." Brand extensions such as the coming June Facebook app are, quote, "both serving the purpose of being a profit center and having more visibility around the show," says Keith Hindle, CEO of Fremantle Media Enterprises, the licensing and brand extension arm of series producer Fremantle Media. "The show also relies on low-tech means of stoking fan interest. There are price-branded slot machines and casinos and two live paid admission theater shows, one in Las Vegas at the Bally's Hotel and another at Connecticut Gaming Resort, which I believe is Foxwoods. Ratings for the TV show have been on the rise. Compared with last year, it's up 10% in viewers and ranks among within the top five daytime programs. While the show and the revamped Temptation and Any Number set pieces aren't the problem this year, it's been Stan Blitz and the contestant coordinators. They have been picking all season long style over substance players. If they get that problem solved, probably we'll finally have all the pieces in their puzzle solved, and Drew will have his own show. Jeopardy's May Sweeps event finishes this week as Jane Curtin, Cheech Marin, and Michael Keaton go for $1 million for their charities in the final of the Celebrity Invitational Tournament. I've liked what they've done with the format, and it wasn't intrusive to the flow of the main game with, you know, real-life contestants. I'd have loved to have seen Neil Patrick Harris and Pat Sajak in the finals as they made it to the quarterfinals, but they just couldn't get the job done, and unfortunately too bad for us. And by the way, it was very cool to see both Pat and Neil on their April Fool's Day episodes. Over at GSN, we have a show that really is a lot more fun than it should be, and that's a great thing. Baggage is a dating show hosted by Jerry Springer. He introduces three people who want to date the main contestant, if it's male and female, as of this writing, and female to male. The three people bring out three pieces of baggage in small, medium, and large cases. In the first round, the small bags are opened. For example, there was one episode I saw where a woman spooned and slept with her dog every night. Okay. In the second round, the medium bags are opened and then matched to the three contestants. For example, one of them, a little more ribald, was that one woman didn't reciprocate during oral sex. Yeah, in that round, one partner is eliminated. It's called the deal breaker round. In the third round, the final two large bags are open and the contestant chooses the person they want to date. But the contestant has one piece of baggage of their own and the person can refuse the date with the contestant if the contestant's baggage is too much for them to handle. In an episode I saw, a male 33-year-old virgin was refused by the female to date. Jerry Springer is perfect in this role. He's so smooth and knows when to push the buttons and when not to. Some of the baggage can be a little explicit for a 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time show. I understand it's paired with the Newlywed Game, but it can get a little naughty. This show should be pushed to late night, but I liked what I saw here. It's a simple concept executed very, very well. My grade for this show is B. In my legal briefs department, Hollywood Reporter blog reports that the nasty 6-year legal battle over profits from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is going to come to a final answer. A judge in Riverside, California has set a May 26 trial date in the $250 million federal lawsuit brought by UK producer Celador International against Walt Disney Company, ABC, Buena Vista TV, and Valley Crest Productions over profits from the hit game show. Legal teams for both sides were in court this afternoon for a 3-hour final pretrial conference during which U.S. District Court Judge Virginia A. Phillips set the schedule for a jury trial anticipated to last 3 weeks. Filed in 2004 but delayed by years of legal wrangling, the millionaire case presents a rare open court Hollywood showdown with hundreds of million dollars on the line. The witnesses includes top execs like Disney president and former and CEO Bob Iger, former ABC exec Mark Pedowitz, and former ABC exec turned millionaire producer Michael Davies. Also scheduled to testify are dealmakers such as Ben Silverman and Greg Lipstone, who, as William Morris agency agents, helped put together the 1999 deal to bring Millionaire to the U.S. Celador claims in the litigation that Disney owned ABC and Buena Vista Television, violated a complex deal to produce and distribute Millionaire in North America by brokering sweetheart deals among themselves that cheated Celador out of millions of dollars in profits. And the Block Party will be watching this one, as we will. Block Party Quick Hits time. Larry Miller teams with the Henson Alternative crew for an adult puppet-based panel game show called Late Night Liars. It debuts June 10th at 11 o'clock on GSN. The panel includes Kashmir Ramada, described as a famous celebutante and tabloid target. Paris Hilton, anyone? And Shelley Oceans, a brash comedian. Contestants vie for cash prizes by deciding whether the puppets are telling true or false stories. Kevin Jonas of the Jonas Brothers appears on Minute to Win It in a sweeps charity stunt May 12th. Make Me a Millionaire, the lottery show which replaced the California Lottery's Big Spin program, gets canceled 15 months after its debut in January 2009. This Mother's Day weekend, Betty White hosts Saturday Night Live, paying off the Facebook campaign in a big way. Wayne Brady takes an RKO from Randy Orton as he hosted WWE Monday Night Raw on May 3rd. And he joins Neil Patrick Harris, there he is again, in the cast of an L.A. production of Rent. Ed Waller and C21 Media claims the U.S. syndicated game show market is in a lull, not an upswing. Lynn Redgrave passes away this week. Top chef judge Tom Colicchio was named the nation's top chef by the James Beard Foundation. Congratulations to him. Julianne Hough is coming back to Dancing with the Stars. Family Game Show comes to the Wii on May 4th. In a little cross-promotional synergy, Chris Harrison will be covering the National Spelling Bee, the Scripps National Spelling Bee, on June 4th on ABC. Randy Jackson signs former American Idol contestant Kimberly Locke to his new Dream Merchant 21 music label. ABC has greenlit The Six, originally titled What, Where, When. In this import, six players must collaborate to solve non-trivial logic games within 60 seconds. ABC has ordered 6 episodes from Merv Griffin Entertainment. Another ABC show, Downfall, is casting on May 15th in L.A. The Sing-Off on NBC is casting for season 2. Bill Engvall, there's your sign of Blue Collar TV, and Mo Rocca of NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and a frequent expert on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, have been tapped as the host of ABC's Trust Me, I'm a Game Show Host. There will be YouTube auditions for America's Got Talent, and CBS will broadcast the Daytime Emmys from Las Vegas on June 27th. That was a lot to catch up on. Sorry I missed you guys in April. This is Jason Block for the Block Party Podcast, wishing every mother out there a happy Mother's Day. And you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/beattheblock. I'll get that right eventually. And for the Block Party Podcast, this is Jason Block telling you and reminding you, don't just play fair, play to win. The Block Party Podcast is a production of GameShowNewsNet.com, copyright 2009. My recording engineer is Ivy Reisner. The opinions expressed in the Block Party Podcast do not necessarily reflect those opinions held by GameShowNewsNet.com as a whole. Some of the music provided for today's podcast was provided by the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com.